The information provided on this podcast does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter. Welcome back to our original Islander Law Show, and it's now called Pacifica Legal Analysts. We want to recap our previous talks on this topic of evictions. So you can go to the previous episodes on Anchor or any podcast platform you use, and you'll find our show. And the topic for these recent episodes are evictions. The previous discussions covered our opening on how evictions are related to Pacifica or Pacific Islanders in the United States. We reviewed the documentary, Saya's Promise. We talked about the Pacific Islander statistics, and we also covered where the Pacific Islanders congregate in the United States, where we are heavily populated. We also covered the stigma and embarrassment that a lot of us face when having to deal with evictions and why that's been problematic in seeking assistance and also just finding remedies. Leoma specifically covered the eviction process, the legal proceedings. He gave a wonderful talk on that. And then also how to deal with evictions. What are your tenant rights? You know, so you can go to those previous episodes. And also in those previous episodes, we talked about resources for tenants facing evictions and the pros and cons of the legal proceeding of the eviction process. So we covered those interesting segments for our evictions talk. And today we will cover possible solutions and also connect the dots between how this topic is related to previous discussions in our original Islander Law Show.
Well, thank you so much, Ruby, for getting us reacquainted with our previous shows. I tell you, it's been a while since we have the chance to come back on here and share what we know and share knowledge with our community. It's been a long time. I know I've been busy with some of the work that I do outside of our podcast, and I know Ruby is busy too. So we're happy to be back, and we're happy to close this topic. This topic is very important for our community. And as we stated in the previous recordings, The topic of evictions is one of those things where our community, does not really want to talk about, because it's one of those issues where, you know, it just brings a lot of embarrassment to our community. So we don't really want to talk about it. But as in this day and age, I think we know that people are coming out and are speaking out on these issues. We live in a society now where things are constantly changing. Everything is on videos, recorded on videos, you name it. There's a lot of apps out there. People are just recording lives on issues. Things that were not known before are now coming to light. And because of social media and the expansion of social media, I think people are gaining a lot of knowledge. And this is one of those issues that we still need to talk about, because it's really affecting our communities. There's a great number of our community that's really affected by this issue, and yet we're not doing anything about it. So, and I'm just happy to come back and talk about it. And, you know, Ruby, we did some research on it, considering that we too are busy with our main jobs, but we do this talk for free. And we do it because we have a lot of passion in talking about legal issues that affects our community. And that's why we're doing this. I mean, there's no other person that's doing this. We have a handful of attorneys, people who are, in this field, but yet they're so occupied with the jobs that they have that they don't have time to talk about these issues. And this is something that we need to talk about. And so today, we're going to talk about some possible solutions to, how to deal with this evictions problem not just in the United States, but also in our own community, the Pacific Islanders, in the diaspora, in the United States. We all, the islands where we come from. And believe it or not, that issue is prevalent. It's becoming prevalent in these Pacific Islands. Hawaii, as you know, is just a perfect example that, what we need to learn from in terms of these issues. But I'll try not to go more into it unless, until we get to the meat of our talk today. And so, I just want to say that I'm happy to be back, and I'm going to turn it over to Ruby so she can kickstart our talk. But
yeah, I'm happy we're back as well. And thank you for that warm welcome back for our listeners, because we recognize the value in our community rising with us. We could certainly keep this information to ourselves, as some individuals have done, but like you said, we do this work for free because it's out of passion and it's out of a belief that our community deserves better. Right. And so we're having these tough talks and we're sharing solutions to help betterment. Again, my name is Ruby, and my co-host Laoma, who you just heard. It's a privilege to continue the work that we do. And we hope that listeners will not only be inspired and learn, but share our show with others, especially if you think there is an opportunity where we can continue to connect and get more word out, then all the better. Our success is your success. So please share our show, our episodes with others, especially if you think that we should connect our team with additional people, because we can't do this work alone. Our hope is that we continue to attract the right people so that we can build the same vision. Uh-huh. And our show, as I mentioned earlier, it's a unique show. It's very rare to have an Islander law show. And a Pacific Islander law show ran by Pacific Islanders, it's such a unique privilege to be a part of. And most certainly, it will inspire others to take the reins and create their shows so that we can have more legal insight. But we are starting first. And our show has been around for years, since I believe 2018. So we've put in some years into the show. You can follow the history of our show on our Facebook page. The name of our show, it used to be called Pacifica Issues Podcast. And it was with humility that we, launched our show, and we cared more for the work. And we still care for the work, but now our show will be called, or is called, Pacifica Legal Analysts, to accurately inform the public this is who we are. We are speaking with this educational background. We're speaking from these experiences, and we're speaking with these interests. So then that this is a law show. It's not just random community issues, but we're legal analysts, and we're taking time out of our busy schedule to unpack these legal issues that our community faces, such as evictions.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This change from, I like the new name that we have right now. It's, legal analyst, whereas before is the Pacifica Issues Podcast. Like Ruby said, we just want to share knowledge. We're not yet attorneys, but we have a wealth of knowledge because we've been in law school and we've worked with legal professionals. We gained some experience. And so not a lot of people are sharing information out there. I think people are only sharing information when there's money involved. And that's not our goal. We've had people share their stories with us. And it's one of those issues where we're not going to keep this secret, right? And so we want to come out and say that this is a very viable issue within the Pacific Islander community. And that's why we want to share with you. I think this name that we have right now is very fitting for our talk. I'm so happy that Ruby came up with the name, and we really support it. And I'm happy to be part of it. The reason why I'm always wanting to talk about these issues is, deep down inside, although I've worked other jobs, but this is legal issue, anything that has to do with legal issues is what I'm passionate for. And that's something that I always want to share on. And so this issue of evictions, right? We talked about on our first show. And so today we're going to talk about what are some long-term solutions. You know, she did the recap of our previous shows. And so we thought about what are some solutions that we could come up with, how to resolve this issue of evictions. And one of the things that we looked at is, I think number one is organize. I think we need to organize and diversify our legal community. Mm-hmm. What does that mean, right? I think as a community, we should be strategic in our approach to this. Before we even tackle this issue of evictions, we need to acknowledge as a community that this is a really big issue within our community. That's number one. And then you analyze that, as we did in our previous shows, and assess, right? And so one of the things that we talked about, that's, you know what, I think it's because we're so spread out, United States that we're talking about. We're not talking about New Zealand. We're not talking about the other communities. I'm sure they're facing the same problems over there. But our show is mainly focused on our community that are living in the United States. And so, and our communities in other countries will help in this progress too. So we're going to spearhead it from the standpoint of starting it in the United States, where, and I know we talked, remember how we talked about the previous shows with different states. There's a predominant population of Pacific Islanders that live there. One of those states is Hawaii, and then you have California, Washington. Pretty much all the states in the United States have plenty of Samoans. We all know this. We're kind of like, we're just explorers, right? We're all over the place now. But there's always California, there's always Hawaii, and then there's always these Western states because it's closer to the Pacific Island. That's why we're so populated over there. And it's becoming a trend now. It's not yet coming to fruition yet, but most of our people are kind of expanding towards the eastern part of the United States. Some Midwestern, you know, and then you have the southern states like Texas, but it's growing. It's growing, and as we continue to grow, we're still facing these problems. We think that there is a dire need of lawyers in our community. Mm-hmm. There's a dire need of lawyers in our community because...
As evidenced by our show, you know,
right.
the Pacifica lawyers should have launched a show a long time ago. That did not happen because... There is a need for our legal community to be developed. We do not have the numbers.
Mm-hmm. We just don't have the numbers. So we're expanding, and we need to come to in the sense that we need to have more attorneys. And we have a handful. I want to say 20, but I don't know if that's wishful thinking or not. So I'm just saying that we should have at least 20 lawyers that are spread out in the entire US. And these attorneys need to communicate. And the problem with this is stems from the law schools that and there are accepting our communities to. We only have a certain number, but these 20, they've got something going on. They may have that occupies most of their time. They just don't have the time to fight for our communities with these social issues, social justice issues. And that's why we need to have more attorneys in these areas. There's never saying, well, we have too many attorneys. No, we need that much. Because as you compare our community with other counterparts, like say, for instance, the Black community, the Hispanic community, you know, the Middle Eastern communities, these communities have a wealth of attorneys within their communities. And so they have their little organizations. And I'm sure when they have problems, they seek them out. Although, you know, I'm not sure what kind of problems they have, but we as a community need to come together and communicate, coordinate, We need to have an office, right? I think we need to have an office somewhere, maybe in the middle of the United States, and then you have the Western and then the East Coast, where when something comes up, our community, can have the opportunity to reach out to these offices and say, hey, we need help over here, say, for instance, in California. So it might not be three offices from the beginning, but we need to have some kind of coordination going on where we need to acknowledge that this is what's going on and we need to come together as a community and tackle this problem. One of the things that we can do is let's create an office, right? Maybe create an office where it's called Pacific Islander Legal Services, mm-hmm. where Pacific Islanders within the United States can call in with issues like this. Because as we talked about in the previous shows, when you are faced with an evictions case in the United States, especially, in California, say, for instance, they'll help you. I mean, these legal aid services, they'll help you fill out those little charts that they have. And that's about it. Once you submit it, and then they say, for instance, it's appealed to the appellate court, you're on your own, right? They pretty much just don't have the time to go through all that. That's why we need to have our own lawyers within our communities mm-hmm. to fight for this. That's one of the things that we talked about.
Yeah, thank you, Leoma, because what you're sharing is a long-term legal solution, which also includes community development. We need our legal community to be organized and cohesive right. and with a focus on our community. And what we're saying is not controversial. There are other communities, other ethnic communities that are already doing that. Maybe they don't use an ethnic name for their organization, but they have resources specific to their community. And so why not us? We are just as deserving to be assisted. And it's not to game the system, it's to be supported, because quite often when we are the tenants and we're facing evictions, our bargaining power is lower. We have less options. And we also have less knowledge, as Leoma explained. We have less knowledge. And without others sharing their knowledge with us, then we're out of the know, and we're on the streets. And as we've shared in previous episodes, quite often when we're evicted, our parents are evicted with us because a lot of us take care of our elderly parents. Our children are evicted because a lot of us right. have children. It's a huge issue in our community. It's not as simple as you're a bad person. You failed to pay your rent, and so you deserve to be on the streets. No, we know that it's not just you on the streets. You're going with your parents. Some are going with their grandparents, their children, their brothers, your sisters. So it's a very severe occurrence when it happens to us. And like I said, we are deserving to be helped. And right. yes, there's resources that help us, like legal aid. We discussed why legal aid in some areas, they have been ineffective in properly serving
our community
members, because they are doing, they are pushing paperwork and they were essentially helping the eviction process go forward. But like Leoma had discussed, because he comes in hard with these legal, that's why I love being a co-pilot with my co-host, because you come in with a lot of specific legal remedies that our community needs to hear. So for example, you had brought up in a previous episode, breach of implied warranty of habitability as a defense that a tenant can use. Now, of course, you can't use a defense that doesn't apply, but what happens when it does apply? What happens when the landlord was misbehaving
right.
and gave you a bad property, knew it was in bad faith when they rented it to you, didn't care that you were dealing with black mold, didn't care that you were dealing with rats and mice, and due to your health condition being compromised? And then honestly, in our community, sometimes we are too nice where we can't even look at the bad behavior of the other person. So we don't realize I'm calling in sick a lot because of the black mold issue at home. So then right. I can't afford the rent. I missed days. Then I had less days to be paid for. So I had less rent to turn over. Now, I'm not saying that happens in every situation, but it has happened in some. And that's just, honestly, that's just too many that when it's happened to our community, when that kind of egregious behavior has occurred and we are the tenants facing eviction not due to our initial bad behavior, but due to the landlord's initial bad behavior, then where are our rights and remedies? Who is telling us about that? Well, if we had the center that Leoma is describing, then we would be informed. You know, that's what makes our show powerful, because we're not just dryly describing, but anyone can read a news story and anyone can go through these life experiences. And, you know, God bless you if you have gone and survived, you know, evictions. However, it takes additional help and education and insight to be a helper. And so that is our call of action to the Pacifica lawyers who either hear this episode or hear from a listener, that is our call of action, that we need organization. And so piggybacking on those legal long-term solutions, there are things we can do on the periphery that also support this crisis. So for example, in addition to organizing our legal community, we also need economic development. We need to cultivate Pacific wealth through group economics.
That's a really good idea.
Samoans. You know, as we discussed before, Tongans should buy from Tongans. And, you know, because we're cultivating a pan-Pacific, not us, but like the community at large, Tongans buy from Samoans, Samoans buy from Tongans, Pacifica buys from Pacifica. So it's kind of an extension of Samoa Mo Samoa, where it's Pacifica Mo Pacifica. And so that creating an economic muscle will enable us to have that legal community, because even if we have that legal community, they can't just run on empty promises and hopes and dreams. They need funding. And so that's where we come from. I also am adding a call of action for business owners, the business owners in our community, because we have a lot of business owners. There's a lot of entrepreneurs and freelancers in our Pacific community. So we need to support them so they support us. And it goes back into buying from them so that they can grow their wealth, but then they can also be part of creating solutions like Pacifica Law Students scholarships that would create, that would add to the Pacifica lawyer community.
Oh yeah, that's a really good,
Yeah, and then also investments into our own housing foundation. That is, and I think that's from you, bro. I think you're the one that had talked about this, investing in our own housing foundation and buildings and affordable housing. That is not unheard of. That's not impossible. There are other ethnic communities already doing that. Why not us have our own housing foundation? Especially if you know someone that's been evicted or been evicted, that's already too many. That shows how frequent it's happened in our community. And so as a result, that should become a priority, you know, the housing foundation. And then one last thing on the periphery is more collection of our statistics, you know, of there's been talk about disaggregating the data regarding Asians and Pacific Islanders. And I think it needs to go a step further where we gather statistics on our evictions, the community that numbers evictions, and we take those statistics and we justify the grant work. We justify the funding that goes into, you know, the evictions crisis for our community. So that is things on the periphery that would assist us, I believe, in a decade or a generation or so, but we would be laying the foundation through all these things.
Yeah, I think you, Ruby, you mentioned, you know, all the things that we talked about. You know, like we said earlier, this is, getting evicted is not a really good thing. It's not, you, especially when you have a family, you've got kids, and then you're trying to find a place to move your family to. It's just a lot of stress on you. It's just, you know, added stress onto your kids too. And we talked about where, say, for instance, if it's California, and then you've got, what is your usual solution for this one? Where do people go? You know, they go to shelters and whatnot. And most of these people are, most of these places are not family friendly, right? I mean, you go over there, you've got younger kids, you've got young, really young kids, and they're, you know, they're just not used to this. This is, we're trying to paint a picture where when a family goes through this, it's just a lot of stress. It's an unnecessary stress that we don't really need to go through. And that's why we as a community need to fight for this. We need to fight against it. And, you know, most of these apartments, these housing, they're corporations. They're backed by attorneys. That's why they have such power to say, okay, you're getting evicted. We're gonna give you a 3-day notice. You can't come up with the rent. Guess what? You're out of the apartment. They have confidence in doing it because they're backed by so many attorneys. They've got the money to back them up. So they can back up. They get their, you know, the pretty little attorneys, and then they, you know, they'll fight for them in court. And meanwhile, you as a dad, or as, you know, someone who provides for the family, the main person that's providing for the family, I mean, you're trying to go work. And at the same time, too, you're stressed with dealing with this. As you can see, it's a lot of unnecessary stress for a lot of families. And that's why me and Ruby got together and we talked about this. This is a very important issue. A lot of people are not shining a light on this. Mm-hmm. We need to bring it to the forefront, and we need to talk about it. We need to have a dialogue within our community and see how we're going to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And so 2 weeks ago, where the governor of Hawaii, and this is just an example, you know, a lot of communities are coming out. They're more so dealing with the politics, but this is a really brilliant idea. I thought it was a brilliant idea, where the current governor of American Samoa is thinking of having a housing in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And the main purpose of that housing in Hawaii would be to house people when they fly over to Hawaii. And because of the COVID, and then you've got people going to be quarantined, and they just don't have a place to stay. So they're going to use that housing for that. Part of the mission or the purpose of having the housing too is to house college students, right? Hawaii is a very expensive place. So they go over there, they go to college, and you know, they can't afford to live on campus. They don't have any families over there. And guess what? We have a housing over there in Hawaii to house these kids. So that's it's a very good proposal that they're trying to get. I think it's about 800 acres, or I'm not sure, but we need to find out about that. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a brilliant idea. It's a really good idea. So that's coming from, and that's going to be government funded.
Wow.
In the States, that's Hawaii. But if you're dealing with the states in the United States, say, for instance, California, that's why we need to talk about these issues. Maybe there's a lot of business owners within our communities. They need to talk. We need to have a forum. You've got all these platforms, right? You've got Zoom. We need to meet. We need to talk. Tackle these issues within our community and say, you know what? Let's put our monies together. Let's take out a loan and then create a housing for our communities. We're so tired of our people just running around getting these eviction notices from landlords and so forth. We can't just have them deal with stuff like this on their own, right? We're from an island. You go to the United States, it's a very big place. And then, can you imagine what these families are going through when they're in the States and they're dealing with stuff like this? So that's part of the reason why. So housing is very important. This is, like Ruby said, we need to allocate our monies and then try to see where we can invest.
Yes, invest in ourselves.
Right. And then another thing where, you know, I know there's maybe more. I mean, there's some people within our community that they're savvy and investing in the stock market and so forth. Maybe they can help them, you know, help us out. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the new trend right now where people are investing in, you know, cryptocurrency. And then you've got, you know, all these new investments that they're talking about. Are we talking about it? Probably not, right? So that's one of the factors where we need to get acquainted with, because that's going to help out our community in terms of getting money to fund these places if we were going to help out our community. I know we probably don't have enough funds, but if we come together as a community, there's power in numbers, and I think we could do that. We can utilize the social media, you utilize all these different platforms, and utilize our knowledge. I know we're kind of sporadic, whereas maybe one or two people that are very knowledgeable in this field, but we just need to communicate.
The next question we're dealing with is, how is the topic of evictions connected to our previous talk on birthright citizenship?
So this is you know, this is one of those issues where, you know, a lot of people are coming up, they're voicing their opinion. And I think they're all coming from a, you know, from a good place. And what I mean by that is because we just don't have a lot of knowledge in this area. How does evictions connect with birthright citizenship? Just to kind of give you the background of this issue, this is an issue that happened in 2000 recently, right? There's a case that's ongoing now. It's been introduced in court and from different states. I think the first one happened in, I think, California, and then it went all the way up to the appellate level, and then it went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court essentially told them that this is something that the legislature, right, of American Samoa needs to deal with. And then it was recently brought up again, and it's the same plaintiffs. The same plaintiffs that are reintroducing this issue in from different states. I think the recent one was, Utah. Utah is one of the states where it was reintroduced again with this issue of birthright citizenship. So, you know, this pertains to the island of American Samoa, and American Samoa is part of the United States. American Samoa has been part of the United States since the 1900s, exactly 1900, where it was ceded under the United States to become part of the United States. Now, when American Samoa became part of the U.S., there is what's called a deed of cession. Essentially, it's an agreement between the forefathers of American Samoa, the leaders, right? I think the main ones that I could think of is Maunga. You've got, I don't want to say too many names because I don't want to get too many Samoans out there get big headed, right? Mm-hmm. There's quite a few people that signed this deed of cession to become part of the United States. And this agreement is very important. And essentially what the leader said, that we can be part of the United States, but we need to preserve our culture. And then a culture meaning we're talking about the Matai system and the land tenure system. These are the very two systems that is very important in American Samoa. And I'm sure it's throughout the whole Pacific, right? So the forefathers of American Samoa were really, essentially really smart about this. They were like, you know, we can become part of the United States, but we can't just let our culture go. It's been with us for so many years, right? It's the language we need to speak, right? I think Ruby and I talked about our previous shows, or maybe we didn't record this one, but we have been having talks about this, that we, you know, language is something that's not given to you by anyone. It's a God-given thing, right? So you need to preserve that. From language, we create what's called a culture. You know, we have all these things that are very important to us as a people. We're very unique. Everyone is unique, right? So that's why it's very important. We're still fighting for this. So they have this deed of cession. 1900s, Samoa became part of the United States. We're not necessarily U.S. citizens. So once you become, if you're born in American Samoa, what you're called is, you call a U.S. national. You're given all the privileges just like a U.S. citizen would, right? You can travel freely to the United States. You can go over there. You can go to school. You're eligible to apply for financial aid. You're eligible to apply to any jobs in the United States. You know, when even dating back to the 80s, when our ancestors migrated, first generation of Pacific Islanders that migrated to the United States, that wasn't never the issue, especially American Samoa, right? It was never an issue where they go to the United States and say, oh no, you can't get a job because you're not a U.S. citizen. It was never an issue until recently. This is how this case came about. This U.S. citizenship case that happened in California. Apparently, one of the plaintiffs had went over to apply to become a police officer in the United States. And then they said, you know what? You can't become a police officer. Why? Because you're not a U.S. citizen, which is very, very strange to me, because I've applied to several police law enforcement. They never told me that, oh, you can't, you don't qualify to become because you're U.S. national. You're not a U.S. citizen. Mm-hmm. It was never an issue. That's why this case is very, it's one of those things where you just kind of think, oh, right? So that's why he appealed that he wanted. He talked to his attorney and he said, this is unfair. This is what he's thinking, right? So he talks to his attorney. His attorney is from American Samoa. His name is Charles Alailima, right? And so this is attorney that's representing him. His attorney has been talking to a few other attorneys in Washington state. I think they have a law firm over there. So they file a complaint. They say that, you know what? By pinpointing this thing, he should have been a U.S. citizen because he was born in American Samoa. So they were using this very incident to have people buy into this birthright citizenship. Mm-hmm. Essentially, what they're saying is that he's a U.S. citizen, right? Because he was born on soil of the United States. That's the whole argument. You can go on the American Samoa Bar Association. You can look at all the pleadings that were filed and you can read about it. But that's essentially what they're talking about, that anyone that is born in American Samoa is an automatic citizen. That is why that's where that birthright citizenship comes from. Anyone that's born here, right? And so, and what does the deed of cession say? That's not what it says. Our ancestors were really, they had this foresight that in order for us to become part of the United States, we need to preserve our culture. They see land, they see our culture, they see everything that is about us as very essential as a community, as a people of the Pacific Island, right? So if you become a U.S. citizen, this is what they're arguing about, then you're going to be facing a lot of issues that a lot of people are facing in the United States. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hawaii is one of those states where you can always compare American Samoa to. Mm-hmm. There's two different islands, but you can kind of see what Hawaii went through, right? Became part of the United States, and that's how you have, there's very, very few Native Hawaiians left now because of that. American Samoa will become that if they don't put an end to this. Unless there's some other way that somehow people are saying, oh, well, we can do this, we can do that. I've heard a lot of things. And even from a standpoint where, say, for instance, the Native Americans, we can preserve our culture using the method that the Native Americans are using. Do you think the Native Americans, how many Native Americans are out there that you can, there's not plenty out there that are surviving this thing, right? So we can kind of take the strategic approach about this. You know, a lot of people are coming to me. Our community is becoming more knowledgeable. And I think there's got to be a way out there. We just haven't found it. But for now, I think that's not the way to go because of this. So once, if you approve this birthright citizenship in American Samoa, that would mean it would, all the laws that are applicable in American Samoa, all the laws in the United States would be applicable in American Samoa. And one of those laws is very detrimental to American Samoa would be the 14th Amendment, right?
Mm-hmm.
All due process, right? Due process is, someone's going to say, I mean, it happened in Guam. Guam is one of those islands where one person that sued the, it's kind of like a housing community for just Native Hawaiians. Kind of like that in Guam. The Native Guamanians are called chamorros. So this person went over there and they were like, oh no, I'm sorry, we can't have you apply over here, but you're more than welcome to go apply to other places. They're using that as, they're trying to say that it's discrimination, right? That's not discrimination. They're really just saying, like, you know what, this is all that we have.
Mm-hmm.
More. I mean, this is all that we have. Please just go apply somewhere else. But this is all that we have to preserve our culture, right? That's what they're saying, essentially what they're saying. And this plaintiff in this case, you can look it up. Happened in Guam. Someone sued the housing community in Guam. And the people of Chamorros were like, I'm sorry, but we can't. You can be more than welcome to apply somewhere else. It brought up this issue of discrimination. That could be a thing in American Samoa.
Exactly.
That could be a thing here where someone would be like, oh, I want to build my house over here. No, but this is only for our communal land. This is what we're trying to preserve. Oh, that's discrimination, right? You're going to have something like that if we allow this birthright citizenship. And guess what? You can say goodbye to your communal land. You can say goodbye to the land tenure system and the Matai title system. Those are the two systems that is the cornerstone of the Fa Samoa, the culture, Samoan culture. And you lose those two, you lose your identity, you lose your God-given identity. Right.
You lose your God-given identity and you lose your home.
You listeners
can hear us connecting the dots. You lose your land, you lose your home. You lose your land, you lose your ability to not be evicted.
Yeah. And so when you fast forward that, say for instance, that's approved. Okay. We have birthright citizenship. Everyone, there's going to be businesses over here. People are going to be moving into the United States. Now we have new laws, right? That new law is, you know, you get evicted. You're going to be facing with issues like eviction, right? The only thing that's holding our culture, that is the upper hand that we have as a community. That is the leverage that we have is land. No one can compete with us because of our real estate. The value of real estate is very important to us. We haven't realized it yet. So it's just amazing when you talk to a lot of Samoans or a lot of Pacific Islanders. They're like, oh, no, that's going to go to, you know, they don't really, it hasn't occurred to them that this is very important, that real estate is very important. Mm-hmm. People are after these things. And so when you're dealing with that, if you have that attitude, and guess what? Someone's going to come over there, develop your land, and then they have apartments and so forth. You're not going to have any more rights on there. You're going to have to rent. You're no longer going to be a landowner. Whereas before you have, you're a landowner for life, right? You're passing it down to your family members, your kids' kids, and so forth. Generational wealth. See, when people talk about generational wealth, we already have that. It's because of our real estate.
Mm-hmm.
We already have generational wealth.
And I think that a lot of us, due to not just colonization, but I think a lot of migration, I think we've been deceived into not seeing the value in our land and land possession. And I think we've been deceived into thinking that, oh, it's just my dad's land. I mean, whereas I could live on the mainland and have these job opportunities, but then the cycle will start, that cycle of dispossession and eventually eviction. And it's not like we are speaking from worst case scenario. No, this is happening today.
Oh, yeah, this is happening today. I mean, you look at, once again, I'm going to bring up Hawaii because it's very prevalent in this case. Hawaiians are homeless in their own land. How do you like that for Samoans? I mean, you're pretty much going to have, you're going to have different investors investing in American Samoa to come in with their monies or, you know, their wealth and so forth. You're impressed by it. Okay, go ahead and purchase my land because of this birthright citizenship, right? Because you can't just say, oh, no, you can't purchase it. Because you would be seen as racist or someone who is prone to have these discriminatory views of someone. But no, that's just turning the whole thing around. It's not even about that. Essentially, what it's about is we're trying to preserve our culture and our people.
About preservation, yes. It's not about discrimination. It's about preservation.
Yep. It's using that term to essentially, you know, destroy our argument. You know, I can't emphasize it more that this is what's going to happen unless, of course, we don't know yet, right? Because, you know, we don't have a lot of lawyers in our community where they can sit around and talk and say, okay, this is what's going on. And I'll tell you one interesting thing, though, where this is the power of having a lot of attorneys in their community. Right now, American Samoa, this has never happened before, where a recent public defender had just resigned.
Mm.
And because he said he can't deal with all these cases on his own. And so that just tells you about the dire need that we have in this community. American Samoa, we're in 2022. How is it that we're not having an attorney housing, a man in that office? 2022, people. A lot of Samoans have applied previous years. They've been denied entrance into law school. And here we have this problem. We need to tackle this problem, Mike. We can't emphasize it more. Yes, I mean, yes. If we could be the voice of someone to give you some sort of inspiration to become an attorney, please do so. And, you know, continue to fight for our community because we need it. We need a lot of attorneys in our community. And I, you know, over here in American Samoa, and I'm sure in Hawaii too. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting part about this is, you know, we've already connected the dots here. This is just an American Samoa. And I'm very positive that this is happening in other islands too. But it's just a different kind of dynamic, if you know what I mean. Like, so here is just a different approach to trying to tackle it using the discrimination. Maybe it might be applicable in Western Samoa too, but they're using the loopholes to try and kill this land tenure system that we have in the islands. Every island have this land tenure system. It's just the land that's passed on from generation to generation, right? It has to be, these are American Samoa, it's over 90% is all communal land. What that essentially means is that the land is owned by a community of families, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then if we have these lands individualized because of this birthright citizenship, then we're in really big trouble, right? We just don't want to face with this issue of evictions. And we just don't want to become homeless in our own island, right? We need to tackle these issues. And, you know, I just want to thank Ruby for being persistent and trying to tackle this issue. Hopefully we'll close this issue. We can always bring it back and talk more into it. We try to get an attorney in here to try to have his point of view or her point of view. But it's an issue that we have to constantly talk about because it's in our community and we're going to continue to have it in our community.
Yeah. And the solution is, important developing our Pacific legal community that is a call of action. And
right.
I think you answering that question was a wonderful way to wrap up our evictions talk because it's bigger than just not paying rent and then being forced out of your home. It's about displacement of Pacific peoples. And thank you, Leoma, for connecting the dots for our listeners. I think that does conclude our episodes on evictions. If you want to hear more, make sure to check out our previous episodes where we unpack other relevant issues regarding evictions. But thank you, Leoma, for your time and your continued contributions to our show and for our community.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it's, you know, I think we both have the passion for doing this. And I'm always happy to come on here and share, you know, whatever knowledge that we have with our community. It's all about giving and having a passion to give it. And then I'm happy to do it. Thank you. Thank
you for all you do. And thank you, listeners, for continuing to, you know, tune in and support us. Thank you for that. And thank you for those who have followed our Facebook page. Our previous name was Pacifica Issues Podcast, but the name is Pacifica Legal Analyst. So you can know who is speaking. It is legal analysts. And we're proud to put ourselves out there. We are deserving of those titles because we've been analyzing legal issues.
Yes.
And please continue to support our show. If there's other legal issues that you were interested in, check out our episode list because we may have covered it. And then if we have not covered it, feel free to contact us on Facebook Meta if you have suggested topics or people you think we need to connect with. Please connect with us.